This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Thursday, April 29th. I'm Matt Hoisch. In today's headlines, San Miguel County extends public health orders, local bluegrass tickets on sale in mid-May, Telluride exploring three affordable housing sites, and a mountain weather forecast. San Miguel County is re-upping its public health orders this weekend. Colorado recently dissolved its statewide COVID dial, shifting more control to the county level.
The county will be maintaining the state dial framework, so that green, blue, and beyond. And it's going to be based off of our COVID metrics, where we're currently sitting in this level blue.
That's San Miguel County Public Health Director Grace Franklin speaking on KOTO on Thursday. The continuation of the public health orders means capacity restrictions for restaurants, businesses, and lodging will stay as they are, and face masks will continue to be required. With that said, there are two changes that individuals or organizations going about their business might notice. For one, public transportation may now operate at 75% capacity, with a recommended 6-foot spacing between groups on routes longer than 15 minutes.
The reasoning for that, too, is because we know our public transportation routes, for the most part, are our local workforce. And we know we have high vaccination rates, and the shorter routes pose little threat of transmission.
Second, for events over 500 people, organizers must submit a COVID safety plan and receive approval from public health. Looking to the summer, Franklin notes it's still too early to have a clear picture on what public health orders could look like, but she's remaining cautiously optimistic and confident the county will see low COVID numbers this summer.
There's two reasons. The first one, of course, is the obvious. More people are getting vaccinated. Our county has the highest rate of adults being vaccinated, which means our staff that are public-facing, our groups when they're meeting together, will be safer.
Reason number two, Franklin says she knows the community is committed to keeping up with the five commitments. She says it's a balance of loosening restrictions and sticking to best practices.
As long as we're maintaining different layers of protection, we will be able to keep those disease numbers low and continue to be that destination where people know it's safe, it's fun, and you can get outdoors.
But she notes it's important to realize that COVID will remain in the community even as restrictions loosen.
Statewide, we are seeing an increase in cases and an increase in hospitalizations, and a lot of those are in our younger populations. But our deaths have really plateaued or stabilized. And so the state is also grappling with the fact that disease transmission's going up, but the consequences aren't quite as dire. So as we weigh the scales, how do we acknowledge the need for all these things that have been put to the side from this virus, knowing that maybe the risk isn't as horrible now that our most vulnerable are protected through vaccines?
As a community, we are beginning to learn how to live with the present but less dire risk of the virus.
We're really close to the end. I feel it. I think that there's a shift in people's mentality and whatnot. And it's really just holding tight for this last little bit so we can ensure that everyone can be protected and we can do our best to really end strong.
San Miguel County's updated public health orders will go into effect on Saturday, May 1st and run through May 30th. Any locals looking for tickets to this year's modified Telluride Bluegrass Festival now have a date and time to look forward to. Planet Bluegrass has partnered with Telluride Music Company to sell tickets reserved for locals. Those tickets will go on sale Wednesday, May 19th at 10 a.m. at Telluride Music on Main Street in Telluride. When it comes to buying tickets, things will look a bit different. Due to COVID precautions, attendees will purchase corrals for pods of up to 10 people, including children, to allow for social distancing of groups.
So you'll come in and purchase an entire pod for 10 people, for up to 10 people, you know, it's your choice, for either the first weekend or the second weekend.
That's one of the owners of Telluride Music Company, Tom Nading. a corral for weekend one, which runs Friday, June 11th to Sunday, June 13th, is $3,000. And a corral for weekend two, which runs Thursday, June 17th to Sunday, June 20th, is $4,000.
It boils down to $100 per person per day. There will not be single day tickets. There's only, for each pod, for each weekend, there's only 10 weekend wristbands. So there's not any option to split it up, unfortunately.
According to Planet Bluegrass, corrals will be randomly assigned. There are 250 corrals available for each weekend. Of those, 50 per weekend will be reserved for locals.
So it's going to be 500 locals per weekend. And I know that a lot of locals also will end up on, you know, pods in the kind of general distribution as well. I've already talked to a few folks who, you know, are planning on coordinating with friends from out of town. So, you know, it's awesome that in addition to that, you're going to have 20% of the crowd each weekend guaranteed to be locals.
Everyone will only be able to purchase one corral, and Nading says purchases must be made in person at the music store.
You know, I realize that, you know, may be hard for some folks to get here, but I hope that the corral concept just makes that easier to get organized. So, you know, my advice to people who want to go is go ahead and talk to your friends and know who you want to be with and know who's going to come wait in line and secure the tickets.
Purchases, Nading adds, will be credit card only, and you must provide proof of San Miguel County residency.
What really works well there is like a driver's license or car registration, just something that ties you to your local San Miguel County address.
Locals tickets for the 2021 Telluride Bluegrass Festival will go on sale at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, May 19th, exclusively at Telluride Music Company. Planet Bluegrass will honor 2020 paper tickets in 2022. Anyone seeking a refund for 2020 tickets can do so by calling the Planet Bluegrass office after May 15th. Housing, housing, housing. Literally. This week, the Telluride Town Council gave approval to the town's Housing Authority Subcommittee to begin early planning, design, and cost estimation processes for three potential affordable housing developments in town. But there aren't any formal proposals on the table yet. This week's vote is just an approval for more detailed exploration.
What we're asking for as the THA subcommittee right now is like, here are the next three properties we think we should develop. Can we spend some money to do the research and figure out what would be the best project and the best timeline?
That's council member Geneva Shawnette, who also serves on the Housing Authority subcommittee, speaking at the meeting. Town program director Lance McDonald outlined the three locations for council. The first is the Voodoo Lounge site, a roughly 17,000 square foot area across the street from the post office where the skate park currently is.
The site is suitable for housing given its proximity to town park, the post office. It's within walking distance to the gondola. It is on the transit route. Definitely would be considered in town.
But there are some constraints, McDonald notes, namely a historic shed on the site and a sewer line that bisects the property. In addition to housing, the subcommittee wants to explore the suitability of a couple other added uses on the site.
And that would be ground floor tenant deed-restricted commercial space, the community room, a youth center, public restrooms, and that the project programming include, take into consideration rather, parking for the Marshals Department, the historic shed, and the storage uses presently occurring on site.
The skaters have not been forgotten. Mayor Delaney Young stresses this year's town budget provides funding to design and relocate the skate park.
There is attention to that and has been for more than a year now.
Next is potential further development on the Virginia Placer site on the west end of town. The site already has multiple affordable apartments, tiny homes, and boarding house units.
The site is limited by wetlands and steep slopes, but it's quite large and can facilitate different types of housing that can be considered in the future.
The site to develop, McDonald notes, is narrow.
It would occur basically over those existing parking spaces that are at the left as you drive into the public works facility. The idea would be that we would have parking beneath the units, and the units would then be constructed above the parking spaces. The area to develop is a little bit wider than a parking space. So these units would probably be smaller units. but they'd also be relatively easy to construct.
The units, he adds, wouldn't be intended for long-term housing needs.
But rather would be intended to provide housing for, or basically assist those with overnight accommodations and somewhat housing associated with the public safety, welfare, and community well-being.
The subcommittee will explore the specifics of intended user groups and bring a recommendation to town council. Finally, there's the Tower House site, a roughly 8,800 square foot property to the east of Clark's Market at the intersection of Colorado Avenue and Tomboy Drive. Town purchased the site in late 2018.
The property is very suitable for housing. It's located close to the market, to Lift 7, the Telluride High School, Middle School, and is within walking distance to the elementary school as well. It too is on the transit route.
All three sites received unanimous approval from members of council who could vote for them. Mayor Pro Tem Todd Brown, Council Member Tom Watkinson, and Town Attorney Kevin Geiger recused themselves from the Tower House discussion due to conflicts of interest related to residency and ownership near the property. Council Member Lars Carlson was not at the meeting. Now, Town can issue a request for qualifications for design and cost estimation services to get more specifics about what affordable housing on the three sites would look like. Last summer in San Miguel County felt different than past years, with more visitors coming to do things other than go to festivals. This summer is also shaping up to be different when it comes to visitors.
We're seeing longer stays and stays that are kind of not dependent on events, not dependent on festivals, not really dependent on weddings, not dependent on a lot of the things we used to think about as drivers for summer business.
Keith Hampton is the chair of the San Miguel County Lodging Tax Committee. He spoke to county commissioners at a meeting this week. Owners of properties that are typically rented out short-term, Hampton says, are also staying longer. Usually, owners come out 3 to 5 times a year, he says, but for the last year, they've been here more.
We're seeing in the data, looking ahead this summer, a continuation of that trend, that the usage of homes by the owners themselves, the second homeowners, is right now probably 20 to 30% higher than what we have seen during a normal time and sort of on par with what we saw last year.
When it comes to marketing, Hampton explains, the Lodging Tax Committee feels the priorities for both them and the Tourism Board need to be based around communication and education.
Sort of a management role more than a butts in bed, beds perspective.
Commissioner Hillary Cooper appreciates that approach.
The approach in the past has been getting as many people here as possible. And I think you're hearing the impacts of that and just the concerns around that that are really growing from our community. And it's a problem that communities like ours face all across Colorado. I mean, thank goodness Telluride wasn't built any closer to the Front Range.
Commissioner Lance Waring also says increased communication channels with visitors is important.
Because not only are we trying to teach them to be leave no trace visitors, but we also may want to really emphasize that this is a place where you probably don't need a vehicle in many instances. And that kind of pre-communication can both save our visitors money, but also save our community traffic cluster.
Looking even further ahead, the towns of Telluride and Mountain Village, as well as San Miguel County, are currently in negotiations with Marketing Telluride Inc., about the use of public funding in future years for the Tourism Board. Drug overdoses and suicide rates are high in Colorado, and these deaths of despair are an epidemic within the pandemic. KVNF reporter Gavin Dahl learns more about deaths of despair from Kathleen Burnell, Director of Substance Use Services at the Center for Mental Health, serving Delta, Gunnison, Hinsdale, Montrose, Ouray, and San Miguel counties.
Deaths of despair are defined as deaths due to drugs, alcohol, and suicide. The idea of despair, of hopelessness, giving up, the sense of things aren't going to get better. We call this an epidemic within the pandemic because the pandemic has introduced social factors that have increased the sense of despair for many individuals. Inconsistency with housing, with jobs, food inconsistency, struggling to get basic needs met that were previously being met and gave a layer of stability to people. And that stability has been taken away in many scenarios, leading to the sense of hopelessness.
Nationally, Colorado has high suicide rates. Deaths from drug overdoses were at an all-time high in 2019. In terms of the impacts of the pandemic, you know, there's data about depression rates rising. Research shows one factor is a reduction in exercise during lockdowns. And with or without the pandemic, sunlight, of course, boosts serotonin levels in our brains. But what do we know so far about the data from 2020 in the COVID era?
One of the biggest factors that we know about from 2020 is the rise of deaths due to drug overdose. So nationally, that number was a 20% increase over 2019. We've noticed that number is consistent in Colorado with a 20% increase of deaths due to overdose in Colorado as well. Specifically in Colorado, there's been more deaths due to fentanyl than there ever have been before. This is becoming more widely available and accessible. And it's a pretty risky substance because it is so toxic at very small amounts.
And doesn't fentanyl also show up for drug users who are intending to use something else, but it may have fentanyl in it without them even knowing?
Yes, absolutely. Very often someone might use a substance and find that what they ingest is not what they intended to ingest. And fentanyl is a common culprit in those scenarios.
Our healthcare system leaves a lot to be desired. A lot of people report they need but don't receive mental health counseling. That's just based on those who self-report. But I noticed on the CMH Facebook page this week a post about how studies show 40% of men don't feel like they can talk about mental health. So there are, of course, people who aren't even counted when we talk about some of these other data points. What steps should a person take if they want to talk? And how can those of us feeling stable ourselves support friends or family members who might not bring up how they're really feeling unless asked about it?
And this requires a lot of vulnerability. And that's why it's so hard for people to do. But the very best thing someone can do when they're looking for support is to reach out in any direction. So reach out to friends and family, reach out to social services, reach out to a coworker. The Center for Mental Health is definitely a resource for people in all six of those counties that you mentioned. So if someone wanted to connect to services for individual counseling, group counseling, maybe some medication management, if that's something they're looking for, they can reach out by phone. Or they can contact us. Some people reach out on our website or even just walking into one of our brick and mortar locations. Just starting that conversation in any way that feels comfortable.
A new report from the Wellbeing Trust about projected deaths of despair from COVID suggests ways to engage in combating this. What are those big areas you're focused on at the Center for Mental Health from a bird's eye view?
Mental health integration, helping people get their mental health needs met, working with private providers, with behavioral health, with physical health providers, with law enforcement, helping people get the care that they need when they need it. Another piece of that would be helping people get back to work. We offer employment services that partner with individuals who have been out of work and are looking to get back into work, connecting people to each other. That's one of the greatest things we can do to combat despair is connection. So that can be connecting with a provider, with a therapist, with another person, a neighbor. Groups are a really great way to connect, where you're finding yourself in a room or a virtual room with other people you have something in common with that can give you that sense of hope that, oh, someone else is going through this. They found that this helped them feel better. I'll try that too. And that can be really, really powerful on a couple of different levels.
Before we go, just want to ask you, you have same day access for new clients available in person at a few locations, right?
Yes, we do. So we have same-day access available at our Delta office, our Gunnison office, and our Montrose outpatient location. So those are available from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., Monday through Friday. We also offer 24/7 support line for people who are feeling the need to talk to someone right in that moment. That's available 7 days a week. So on weekends, too, it never closes. And anyone can reach that at 970-252-6220.
Kathleen Brunell is Regional Director for Delta and the Director of Substance Use Services at the Center for Mental Health. Thanks for your important work and thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you very much.
For KVNF and Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition, I'm Gavin Dahl.
Democrats at the State House have unveiled three bills they say will prevent gun violence in the wake of last month's mass shooting in Boulder. KOTO's Scott Franz has more.
People who commit violent misdemeanors could not purchase a firearm for 5 years after their convictions under one of the measures. State Representative Judy Amabile says the law could have prevented the suspect in Boulder from purchasing the weapon.
Our bills also address the larger issue, the everyday gun violence and suicide that tear families apart without so much as a mention on the local news.
Lawmakers also want to create a new statewide office of gun violence prevention and let cities pass stronger gun laws than what the state has on the books. Meanwhile, top Democrats say they will not try to ban assault weapons this session because they think it would not save as many lives. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for mostly clear skies tonight with a low around freezing. Friday, sunny with a high in the mid-60s, and Friday night mostly clear with a low in the mid-30s. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 70 and wind gusts as high as 20 miles per hour, and Saturday night mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. This has been the news for Thursday, April 29th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 728-3206. And now, a personal commentary.
Thunder Theater is coming back to Telluride in the summer of 2021. My name's Ashley Bowling, and I want to give you some important information about Thunder Theater. This July 2021, from the 12th through the 31st, for ages 11 through 14. Join directors Sally Davis and Kim Epifano, creators of the Mudbutt Mystery Theater Troupe, on a fantastic journey into the world of drama, movement, music, improvisation, and exploration. This three-week experience is for young artists who want to dig deep, play hard, and work together to develop new work. We will look at personal stories, Telluride history, environmental issues, both local and global, and fresh ideas that will spring from the ensemble as we go. This program will inspire creativity, self-confidence, and open-mindedness. It will provide a platform for new ideas and ways of seeing the world. Each day will be a mix of explorative workshops, outdoor adventures, and site-specific theater experiments, culminating in performances for the community in unlikely locations. Scholarships are available. All regional families are eligible to receive an automatic 40% discount and up to an 85% tuition assistance off published tuitions. If you're interested or have more questions or you'd like to register for Thunder Theater, you can go to TellurideAcademy.org. That's TellurideAcademy, all one word, .org, or call phone number 970-728-8731. Let the thunder continue.
Opinions broadcast over KOTO are those of the speakers. You are also invited to express your views after the news or on Access each weekday at around 4 p.m. If you'd like to comment, please contact a staff person here at KOTO. We encourage you to speak out on important public issues.